Good morning. This is Penny Briggs for the Petersons Project recording oral histories on Saturday the 30th of September 2023. And I will pass over to my interviewee to introduce himself.
Okay, my name is Stephen Parkinson, the owner, recent owner of Fred's Fisheries. Worked in this building for many times, for many years, shall I say. And I'm so pleased that this is project is going on. And hopefully my information can be beneficial to the project.
Thank you very much, Steve. Could you tell me what's your connection to the Building 89, as we call it, on Warncliffe Road?
As far as I can recollect, we moved into that building. My father died in 1968. Okay, we moved into that building before that. So I can't remember the exact time we moved into it. I was still at school. I was 13 years old. So when we actually moved into it, it was nothing like it was when we moved out of it, of course. We sort of like sublet it from, I think it was Tim Middleton at a fish merchant, and he took the lease off from the ABP, and then we sort of like, he subletted it to my father. But when we first moved into there, it was different. They had a like an air raid shelter in the far corner, which I'd give a little bit of help because I was only 12-13 year old, but they had to knock it through and knock it down to sort of like make a bit more room, and we just got the ground floor by this time, and so there was like an office in the far corner from Warncliffe Road. As you go into the front door, there was a little office on the right hand side, and that's what we rented, or my father rented off him, until a few years later, and then time goes by, and we sort of like progress from there.
Thank you very much. What type of work did you do? What was the business involved with?
Well, we were local company. We were on Freeman Street Market and Top Town Market, so it was like retail fish retailers. We sort of like, my father and I did when I left school, because we went to the fish market, we bought the fish, we barrowed the fish back to the premises and processed it. And then the day after, we took it to each market and sold it retail. So fishmongering, I suppose.
Okay. Thank you. Were you involved with any, I know you've said your father was in the business, were there any other family members involved?
Oh yes, all of us.
All of you.
All the family was born. To go way, way, way back, I was born in Victoria Street, where we got burnt out of the wet fish shop when I was 18 months old. That was my mum and father's house. When my father died, and I was 13, my mum took over the business with my two brother-in-laws. That was Les Parker, he's not no longer with us anymore, Malcolm Pritchard. They took over, and they run it with my mother until I was 15, 16 and left school. And then when I left school, of course all my sisters was involved as well, all my three sisters. Mm. They were on the stall. I've got photographs of them behind the stall actually. And it's on the back of one of the vans. I think it's still going around the dock, because I had it put on the back of my van. A lot of people would have seen it around Grimsby. And I don't know where it is, but I still think it's on the dock somewhere, because it's no longer my van. So yeah, and then all my sisters, my mother and brother-in-laws were all involved. It was a family business, until I say I left school, and then my mum passed it over to me, the business itself, passed it over to me when I think I was 18, because then I'm a man. You were class as a man at 18 year old then.
Did you work anywhere else in the industry, or was it solely to do with Fred's Fisheries?
No, it was just me. It was mine. I was going to join the army, but when my father died at 13 year old, I was quite, my mother was straightforward, and she went, right, it's your business now, so we're keeping this business for you. So I was a little bit caught, I think, because I wanted to do other things, but you know, I couldn't do it because I was the man of the family. I had four sisters, and they were relying on me, so I sort of like got to keep the business going, although I did enjoy it, although it's had good times and bad times.
Of course, yeah. Could you describe a typical working day for you in the height of the business? What would your day have looked like?
Goodness. Right. Every day was different, but the same, if you see what I mean. Monday morning, I would get up at 5:30, 6 o'clock time. We would get down the dock sales would start at 7 o'clock. And then we bought the fish that we think we're going to need, or what was acceptable for us to buy, price-wise, quality-wise. Then we would go back, I mean, that's me and Malcolm at the time, we'd take it back to the store. Then we would start having a cup of tea, and then we'd start, get basically, as we said, got stuck in. We'd wait till finish, you know, there was no time limit. If we got 10 boxes of fish, we did 10 boxes of fish. If we had 5, we had 5. So we'd finish round about tea time. I wasn't getting much home, I wouldn't get home much before 6 o'clock at night, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a Monday. Mm. And Tuesday, if you want me to go through the week.
No, that's okay. So when you said if you had 5 boxes or 10 boxes, you did the fish, what were you doing with the fish?
Filleting it.
Yeah.
I mean, you get it off the wholesale as off the market as a whole fish, and mm-hmm. then you would sort of like, it's already been gutted most of the time. So you would prepare it, fillet it, pack it into trays, put it on ice, put it into the chiller, ready to go to the market for retail on the next day.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask how you used to get to work?
How I used to get to work? Yeah, we had little vans. We had there were little Suzuki vans that we had. We had a couple. They had a pickup and they had the little Suzuki carrier. So we sort of like just drove to work. Mm-hmm. And then it's quite simple, really. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember? We've talked about what the day was like and what you did. Do you remember the sort of feelings around the work, the sights, the sounds, the smells? Could you describe any of that?
Do you know, it was horribly good. I don't know. I mean, it was like, it was cold in the winter. It was like very, very aggressive at one time. You know, people would be aggressive, but there again, that was the dock life. That's the dock life. You know, you go down there and there's something wrong with you, you had no sympathy, you know. If there was ill, you'd just say, get your finger out and just get your work done. And then, but yeah, the smells, I used to go home and smell that. I didn't smell it. Nobody smelt it on the dock, you know. I mean, I used to take the money into the bank and the bank used to say, oh, this smells. And I went, how will they? If you look at it this way, it might smell, but it's paying your wages because every Absolutely. Pound comes across here.
So you mean that the actual wage. Notes?
The notes pay, the yes, yeah, smell. Because we used to take cash, everything was cash in them days, of course. So when we used to take the money into the bank, not on the dock itself, because the banks, but if you take it into Victoria Street or the other banks, they would say, oh, this smells. And then you used to stand there, and used to stand in line, and you used to go, this is the smell of fish. And you go, yep, it's me, and it's good, honest work, you know? But that was the dock, you know, people used to walk down there with the leggings on, and so yeah, it was great, and it is missed.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Would you say, how busy do you think it was in the heyday of your business?
Oh, let's have a look. I mean, it was busy before even I got down there. I mean, at one time I think there was 30,000 kit a day landing, you know, and that's every day for the 5 days, and sometimes they used to do it on a Saturday.
Mm.
So yeah, it was so busy. But then when I was down there in the late 70s time, it was still busy. It was still an ant nest, basically. But yeah, it was very busy. But you know, like a lot of things, the fishing industry was always undervalued anyway. That's another argument you can get into, the overfishing. But yes, but it was very, very busy. Yeah.
And did you notice a difference in your working years and in that business?
Oh God, yes. Hmm. Yeah. So when I first started going down there, even though it wasn't 30,000 boxes, there was still landing 8,000-10,000 boxes per day, every day. And it used to go right around to pneumonia, on the dock. And it used to come all the way through the dock. And every part of the dock at one time, when I was there, fish was landing on it. And I think when we actually finished, which was a couple of years back, I mean, you're lucky to get hundreds, you know, you're lucky to get 200 boxes landing. Mm. And then, of course, it's not coming by the ships, it's coming by overland and containers.
Mm-hmm.
Because we lost the industry in the 70s, in the late 70s, as you know. So, yeah, the big difference.
Yeah. And had your customer base shrunk then? Must have done.
Yes, it did. I mean, I can remember being on the markets, on Freeman Street Market alone, and we used to have four staff on a Friday, and we were serving non-stop. It used to take me an hour and a half to 2 hours to set the stall out, and I never used to put my blinds up till about 8 o'clock. I was there at 6 o'clock, and I had people waiting, and then I'd get busy, and then my staff would come in roughly around about 9 o'clock, and they would start serving, and we wouldn't stop until mid-afternoon, and then, you know, we had to stagger the dinners, break times. So yeah, we had queues around there all the time because fish was cheap. It was cheap, and everybody ate fish because it was Grimsby. Even though people say we should get it for nothing because it's Grimsby, but you know, we weren't expensive, and the fish wasn't expensive then days. So yeah, there was the decline in everything, isn't there?
I didn't press that hard enough, sorry.
Cool.
We're going to have extraneous noises on it. There's a question, do you remember your first day or interview? That's obviously irrelevant. And when they wrote that, I laughed because nobody was interviewed to work on the top.
No,
you just went down.
You were born.
Have you got any jobs?
You were born.
I'm just going to go through these questions and see if they're relevant to you. Yeah, okay. Yep. It's so hard to see in this light. Now, Catherine interviewed one of those health and safety chappies. Mm. He came forward on the market and he gave her a sign that said something. It was a big red sign and it said fish not to be consumed or something. Can you remember? If I can find the photo. Oh.
Was this off the dock? On the dock?
Oh, I've left my phone at home. That's stupid. Right. She took my phone. Yes, he said he came to interview about Building 89, and he said that at one point he'd had to do something, and now I can't remember. And she said to ask you about that, and I can't remember. And I haven't got my phone. So
was
I can't
it my
show
fish?
The photo. I don't know. It may have been somebody else's.
Well, I've been.
I can't ask you about
many,
that
many,
then
many
because
years.
I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Right. So, going to ask you about. I'm not recording at the minute, so I'll just tell you what. Any wider experiences on the dock? So you've said about the banks, but they were on Victoria Street. There were
banks on the dock.
Did you not use those banks?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I'm talking
about
after the banks.
And if you might talk about maybe your relationship with the FMA and how that the settlement probably worked or anything like that.
Yeah, that's
useful.
Fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, make sure this is going. Thank you, that was marvellous. Is there any... That's solid. Is there anything you can think of that we haven't covered that you'd like to talk about? Anything that I haven't prompted you on?
No, I don't think so.
Where did you spend most of your day then? Was it on the docks or on the markets or was it an even split?
Well, on a Monday, like I said before, I was down dock. On a Tuesday, I was on the market.
Oh, right. We'll just talk about that.
Yeah.
A bit, if you don't
different
mind.
Days of the week.
Yeah.
Saturday basically was, I'm going to say it's a knockout day. We would sort of like do the start again at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock on the market. And then we would try and get rid of all the fish of Saturday afternoon. We'd try and knock it out just to sort of like get rid of it so it wasn't old. And then Sunday I'd off. And then Monday we'd start all over again.
Yeah.
And then I think the high time was probably working 80, 84 hours a week. Just a little business. But that's what you do, you know, when you work for yourself and you have to keep going, you know, you do it. And I thought, well, my dad did it for many years, even though he died early. I thought, and this is another reason why I wanted to sort of like, if I get a chance of selling things, I'm selling.
Yeah.
And try and enjoy life. I'm there now, hopefully. Yeah. I can sort of like look back on all these times and think, yeah, I did enjoy them. I enjoyed the life on the dock, but they've gone, you know, everything. The dock is gone, the fishing industry is gone. So now you're just what you are. And try and enjoy the rest of my life.
Absolutely. Did you find certain times of year were busy? Was Easter was traditionally a busy time, was it?
Oh, God, Easter, yeah. People used to say, oh, you earn a lot of money at Easter. And years ago, you did. You know, when there was lots of fish, people would queue up and that. But as it went on, you would find out a week before Easter, your fish would start going up, your salmon would go up, everything would go up. You would take twice as much money, sometimes three times as much money, but your bills were twice as much. So the profit wasn't there, but I always said, like, you know, I mean, somebody on the fishing industry, on the fishmongers the other day, just setting off. Yeah, so someone put on the fishmongers page the other day, he's just from the northwest, northeast, and he's trying to come into the fishmongers, and he was just asking, you know, advice. And the advice I gave him basically was like, well, first of all, be true to yourself. Don't bullshit, and don't try and earn a quick buck. Just get a good relationship and it'll come in time. And that's, you know, that's my advice for anybody, if they're listening, if they want to accept it. So, yeah. It's I enjoyed my life. I wouldn't change any of it. You can't anyway. So who knows, if I'd have took a different path many years ago, it meant completely different. But it was good to me. The fishing industry is good to me. But it's like everything else, you get out what you put in.
Press that harder. I'll record a sign up in a minute. Can I just add, on your ledger then, so you've got all the different companies that... Were you selling that to or buying from?
Buying from.
Buying from.
Yeah.
Okay. So all your... You sold from probably 10 or 12 different merchants you were buying from,
yeah.
Looked on?
Yeah.
Yeah, including Peterson's, a nice little tie-up between the two, isn't
yes.
it? So we can make something of that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Good. So I think we've probably covered everything, do you? I think
yeah.
That's been really interesting.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
It's fascinating. It really takes me back in a way.
Yeah, it does.
You didn't... So you were buying from, you never bought anything from Bluecrest then, as I looked in the ledger?
No.
Because
no.
That's the ledger from 77, 78, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is 77 Bluecrest started.
Yeah, but Bluecrest was a company of its own, wasn't it? So I was only a small merchant, so I used to sort of like buy off the fish market.
Yeah.
And then, but so Bluecrest weren't bothered about me.
They were only small at the beginning, weren't they?
Yeah, but I just didn't need them, basically. Okay. There were so many people around there. Yeah. We used to buy off...
Because you had established...
Yeah. Yeah, we used to sort of like, that's right. I mean, yeah. We used to buy up. I can remember father, don't you? Muds was an old.
Yeah, I remember Muds, yeah.
Yeah, my father used to deal with them.
Yeah.
I mean, at one time we were sort of like, even on the market, we were selling frozen peas, frozen carrots, I mean, just diversified.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, why not? You've got a freezer there.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
We used to do little things and just try to keep it different.
Can we talk about that? That's just a little
yeah.
useful thing.
Yeah.
I'll just say something about your ledger.
One.
I'm so sorry.
That's right.
It wasn't recording. So, Steve, I noticed in your ledger that from 1977 and 78, you were selling other items, or there are other items listed in the ledger, if you might tell us about that, anything
yeah.
other than fish.
Well, we only did it on one market, which is Freeman Street Market. It's, we had a 24-foot stall, and we had a bit of space at the end for a 6-foot freezer, deep freeze. So we used to buy frozen peas and chips and fish fingers and cakes. I think it was H Muds, and then we used to sort of like bag them up and then just put them at the end of the stall and sell them in the freezer. But just going back, I just remembered something else. Many years ago when my father was alive, he didn't sell fish at Christmas. Even though he was on the markets, he used to sort of like pack up, I think it was a fortnight or 3 weeks before Christmas, and then he'd go off into somewhere and buy a load of Christmas trees. And then he would sell Christmas trees up to Christmas, because nobody wanted fish or seafood then, well, not from him anyway. So I remember going that. We used to go to the farms and cut the trees, and then they used to throw me in the back. We used to sit on top of the trees in the back of the van, and then we'd take the Christmas trees to the market, and then sell Christmas trees. And then in January, I started with fish again.
So the fish stall became a Christmas tree stall.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Steve, thank you very much for your time. That's been absolutely fascinating. We very much appreciate it. Thank you.
No, it's no problem. Pleased to do it. Bye.